Isn't that exciting? That how many guys got baptized last weekend? Two folk got baptized, and people gave their lives to the Lord, rededicated themselves. I mean, that is awesome. Praise God. Wow. And if you haven't noticed yet, as you came in and all this new art that's all over the church here, you'll notice around the corner there in the coffee bar, there's some beautiful pictures of our worship team, and there's other art around here. Well done, Janet. Thanks for decluttering my garage and bringing your art to the church. Been saying to her for ages, when are you going to take your art down to the church? Yeah. Everyone comes to church, hetha, something. What hetha you to bring today? Your gift, your time, your treasure, your talent. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Orenser. Lord, we just thank you for the agreement in giving to the gospel this morning, that this church will be here, if you tarry, for this generation and for the next and for their children. In this place, the gospel will be preached. Amen. Thank you, guys, as you do that. Where's Jesus today? Okay, you bunch of spiritual people. You make my work so easy. It's just, I mean, there's got to be a law against that in some country. And in a real sense, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was ascended, he's at the right-hand side of majesty in glory. And he said, I'm going to leave my body on earth. The headship, headquarters is in heaven, and his body is very much on planet earth. This morning, all over the globe, worshiping, getting instruction, being encouraged, that Sunday morning isn't what the only part of what the body is all about. But it's as his body steps out of these doors and into their communities and into their schools and into their households, into their neighborhoods, that the body of Jesus finds effect. So I think we always need to keep that picture in mind, that when we come together, the body is being refreshed. That's why the gifts are used in our corporate gatherings. Everyone hetha, prophecy, a word of knowledge, a testimony, an encouragement. But there's a sense in which those gifts operate Monday to Friday outside of this building. And this is very important. That's how we've started the year off. We've said the vision for this year is we want to see his body built up and become strong. So if you are in Ephesians, you'll know this scripture. In chapter 4, verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. What was his purpose for giving these? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Say, the body of Christ may be built up. The body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up, say grow up, into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that's you and me, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part. So this is how we've kind of started the year off. This is the goal of what we're doing, even in the life groups, in tabling the scripture around this important task of seeing the body built up and strengthened and equipped. So You could say the church has provided the gym to attend on a Thursday night, where you will receive a good, healthy input. And it's there where hopefully some discussions taking place around the body being built up. And even if you're in a situation where you permit it because of work or whatever, family situation, if you are restricted from getting to life groups, we have got that material available. There's 20 teachings that we've been working through of Andrew Womack's that equip the church to believe they are who he says they are, that they have what he says they have, and they can do what he says they can do. Yeah. Very important. And that's why we've brought through the apostolic, prophetic teaching gifts into the life of the church. Over this year, Greg clearly is an apostolic gift here recently. We got Rob Rufus coming in a few in about 6 weeks' time. Don't miss that. Don't look back and say, well, I've been to a Grace and Glory conference, been there, done it, bought the t-shirt, you know, sold the t-shirt to cover the costs. Come with an open heart of Jesus has given gifts. He gave prophetic, apostle, pastor, teacher. He's given those gifts so that, not so the body can be entertained on a Sunday or entertained at a conference, but so the body can be built up. He wants us to move beyond the eternal babyhood of the believer. He doesn't want us to stay drinking milk until Jesus returns. He wants us to become firm and strong and healthy, nutritious diet people. Amen. So that's part of what the vision is. You could say this is kind of, it's due now. We're having a mid-year evaluation saying, come on, church. There's more for you. When I say church, I'm talking collectively to this local body, but I'm also talking to you individually. There's more for you. There's more for you to grow into. There's more spiritual muscle that you can pack on. There's more of a healthy, nutritious diet that can equip you and strengthen you as a believer. There's two important questions we've got to ask ourselves, and this is kind of what I want to address this morning. Is the first one, the first question is, and I've got to learn to be multitasked here. The first question is the life of Jesus being reproduced in you? Is the life of Jesus being reproduced in you? And the scripture that my wife prayed this morning, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. I mean, just say that loud enough so that your ears can hear yourself say it. As he is, so are we in this world. I don't know if I must go over to the handheld, Johnny, but this feedback is going to distract me. I'm one of those distractible kind of people. You know, when we read a scripture like this, as he is, so are we in this world. For years and years, the church was taught, there's Jesus, here you are, and you need to try harder to be like him. So it doesn't matter what conference we went to, what message we heard, what teaching, what book we read, we had a grid. And in this grid was kind of stepping stones to becoming more like Jesus. Now, I think that's a good pursuit, because there's something about Jesus that is attractive. There's something about Jesus we want to be like. And the goal is good. The goal is helpful. But how we get there is the important thing here. Because there's different ways you can try to get to that goal. And for years, the attitude of the church was, just try harder to be more like Jesus. When we get to the gospel, we find out that Jesus has already lived the perfect life that you were supposed to live. He already died the death that you could never have died, and rose and ascended into heaven like you could never have. And he says, if you want this life, I'm willing to deposit it into your account. As he is, so are we in this world. That means, as Jesus is right now, just imagine before the Father's presence, is Jesus under any form of condemnation right now? No. As he is, so are you in this world. Right now, in the presence of the Father, is Jesus experiencing any sense of rejection or any sense of abandonment right now? Is he? No. As he is, not as he was, not as he will be, as he is right now. So right now, Jesus is not experiencing any lack, any failure, any fear, any concern. Right now, in the presence of the Father, he's got all joy, all love, all peace, all provision in the presence of the Father right now. And the Bible says, as he is, so are you in this world. Now, if we fix our eyes on where he is, and we continue to gaze upon him, the Bible says that with unveiled faces, we are being transformed from glory into that image. So you want to know the life of Jesus reproduced in your life, it comes as you gaze upon him, as he is right now, and declare over and over again, as he is, so am I in this world. This is not a do better program. This is not a self-improvement program. This is not, let me tick these 6 boxes to be more like Jesus. You know, the scripture says anyone who calls himself a Christian should live like Jesus does. Well, of course they should, but it's not from self-effort. It's from gazing upon him, seeing him in perfection, and saying, as he is, so am I in this world. That, my friends, is the kind of faith that the Apostle Paul lived by when he said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who died and rose again. That's the Jesus. The scripture says, as he is, you are right now. Amen. Now the devil and the world and your unsanctified mind wants to look at your current reality. Wants to get the attention on where you are right now. Well, I mean, you don't have to use too much creative imagination to remember some foolish, silly, dumb thing you did recently. And when we look at that thing and we say, well, that's who you really are. Who do you think you are? How dare you make, you know, as if you're such a wonderful Christian. How dare you think you this, that, or the other? I tell you what, you say to the devil, you're looking at the wrong person. Because it doesn't say, as I was, so am I in this world. It says, as he is, so am I in this world. You don't look at what I was, what I've done, what I can't do, what I should have done. I'm not looking at that. Because if I look at that, I'll become depressed, oppressed, and unimpressed. But I'm looking at someone who lived a perfect life, a righteous life, a holy life, and I'm declaring by faith, as he is right now, that's who I am in this world. The question to ask yourself is the life of Jesus being reproduced in you? Because without this kind of faith, it's not going to be. Without this kind of faith, all we do is we try harder and fail again, try harder and fail again. Until we live by faith in what Jesus did. Yeah. Maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, you know, Steve, you've been preaching this for like 3 years now. You know, can't we like get like a new sermon, you know, a new preacher or something new? I mean, you've been preaching this message for 3 years. Well, I'm telling you, it's 3 years too short if we haven't got it. Because the problem with information is when we've heard it, we think we got it. And that is such a delusion, because we think because we know about something that qualifies us. The question is, if we know this, if we know that as he is, so are we in this world, I can tell you now, 3 years later, your life will be different.
But you are no more holy than you were 3 years ago. No more righteous than you were 3 years ago. Because 3 years ago, you were as he is, so am I in this world. As much as you are today, as he is, so much am I in this world. But if you've been gazing on that for 3 years, let me tell you, something's changed in your life. You see the scripture different. You pray different. Amen. You worship different. Something's changed in your life. So that's the first question that we got to answer. Is the life of Jesus being reproduced in my life? And then secondly, are we, his people, ministering as Jesus in this world? Because if it's true that the head is in heaven and the body is on earth, if it's true that we are fully qualified to be his body on earth because of his making us qualified, then the next question we inevitably have to ask is, are we his people ministering as Jesus in this world? Look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes, all the believers, put your hand up. Anyone who believes, okay. Quickly take a photograph, James. We'll catch all those who don't believe as well. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, just before we jump onto, in our minds, wow, what are these greater things that Jesus is talking about? Just before we think he's promised us greater things, let me ask, I would be quite happy just doing the things he was doing. So, I mean, let's not get lost in the second part, which is, and greater things. I mean, if we were just doing the things right now that Jesus was doing. I'm not denying that it's true that there's greater things, but I want to be content for just right now to ask, what were the things Jesus was doing right then? Well, he was speaking about this great message that the Father sent him to proclaim, that the kingdom of God is at hand. That the kingdom of God was about to appear. That people would be born again into a new kingdom and be translated out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. That was, in a sense, a greater thing as well. Because in Jesus, until Jesus' resurrection, you couldn't be qualified to step out of that kingdom into a new kingdom. So there was a message that Jesus was going around proclaiming, and he was demonstrating it by seeing sick healed, lepers cured, deaf hearing, blind seeing. I mean, I would say Jesus was having a pretty exciting lifestyle. He'd get up in the morning and say, oh, thank you, Father. Another day to go and irritate the devil's work. Let me get out there. Healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, loving those who are unlovable. You know, I'm a recipient of the things that Jesus did. Because when he called out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, he was looking down through 2,000 years of history at Steve Wheeler, particularly. And my wife said, amen. And said, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm telling you that the ministry and the life of Jesus is so personal and close and upfront. It's in your face. When they brought that woman caught in adultery and they were about to stone her, and Jesus, riding in the sand, stood up and said, he without sin cast the first stone. He was thinking about you. Because religious systems are constructed in such a way that they're supposed to show you your guilt and blame. But just before they condemn you, Jesus pours in the grace, pours in his love, pours in his, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. When Jesus fed the multitudes, he was showing what his Father's kingdom looks like. He was showing you what your life could look like living in a new kingdom where you have a Father who cares about the smallest details of your life. Jesus said, the things I've been doing, you're going to do. Now back to the question. What does it mean? Are his people ministering as Jesus did? I would say all of the above. Every opportunity God gives us to forgive somebody is an opportunity to do what he did. You know that? You know there's someone that irritates you? I know that. I don't have to be prophetic. I sense in this place today there's somebody who's got an issue of unforgiveness with every eye closed and every mouth. I can be pretty confident that there's someone, it might even be the guy speaking, there might be someone in your life right now that just scratches you up a little bit. You know, by having a forgiving heart towards that person, you are doing what Jesus did. And maybe even a greater thing. I don't know. How do you measure that? But right now, there's someone who doesn't deserve your forgiveness. I mean, really, they've offended you. They've done something that's just not right. And they shouldn't have been allowed to get away with it. And I think we should have a stone gathering meeting next week and teach this blighter. We'll take him out the back here and teach them a lesson. You will do the works I've been doing and even greater works. When you find it in your heart to say, Lord, that person doesn't forget it, doesn't deserve it. And let me tell you, I might not be able to forget it. Because I don't know where we got that, to forgive someone, forgive and forget. Yeah, right. Next, please. I'm going to make an action choice in my heart. I remember one, forget her name, Catherine Marshall said, those of you all Catherine Marshall readers, she once said, the definition of forgiveness is just removing judgment off a person's life. So you still remember what they did. There's still maybe even some feelings attached to what they did. But I'm no longer their judge. Someone else got judged. And there's no more judgment. The same way you're not going to have negative judgment from the Father. Because that would be double jeopardy. He's already judged someone on your behalf. You don't have to live in fear of judgment anymore. Only judgment will come is for favor and blessing and rewards. To forgive is to take judgment off people. And to pray for the sick is to do what Jesus did. To share the good news. The next time you share the good news with somebody, and you give God an opportunity to intervene in someone's life, you're doing the works that Jesus did. And I believe that as we just do the things that he did, we are opening up the door for these things and greater things. Come on. I didn't write this. I didn't say, and you will do these things and greater things. Jesus did. And Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God, forgiving, healing. And then he said, you'll do these things, loving people, forgiving people, preaching the word, healing the sick, caring for the poor. When you do these things, you are doing the things that I was doing, and this opens up a way for even greater things. Are you hearing me? We are the body of Jesus on earth today. We, the church, individually and collectively, are his body. Number one, is Jesus being reproduced in you? Two, are we doing the ministry of Jesus? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is God still with his body? So, theoretically, it could be written as an epitaph on your gravestone. Paul went around doing good, healing all that were under the power of the devil. Steve went around doing good, healing all that were the power of the devil. Mark went about doing good, healing all that were in the power of the devil. James, for this purpose, was he on earth to destroy the works of the evil one. Pascal, for this purpose, was Pascal born to destroy the works. I mean, if this was what was written about Jesus, and then he said, the things I've been doing, you must do, then surely the same things that were written about him are going to be written about his body. Or do you think I've drifted too far now? Now, I don't think I've drifted far enough. Because for too long, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, bearded, sandaled one, was at a distance to be admired for what he did. And of course, we admire him for what he did. But we're not paying tribute to him by just admiring what he did. We only give true tribute when we take his words that he said, and he says to you, are we his people ministering as Jesus in the world? What is this body called to do? And then the final scripture, the very final scripture, just didn't make it at all. But I now could quote it. In Romans 8:19, it says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And I may add, daughters of God. And I may add, body of Jesus on earth. As he is in heaven, his body on earth. He said, pray like this, on earth as it is in heaven. And we can stand up together this morning. Father, we as your body want to declare right now, on earth, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that we, your body, would begin walking in that authority, that we begin walking in that faith that says, even the things you are doing, we're going to do. On earth, as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that the most electrifying days for this church are just ahead. We thank you that the most exciting days for your bride on planet earth are just ahead. Yeah. That's amen, eh? That's amen. Come on now. Thank you, Johnny. And then one last thing to pray before is you only get to be part of that body of Jesus when you put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross in your place. So if you're standing here this morning and you don't know that you've been born again, then I've got to say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So I want to say to you, if you've never been born again, you one prayer away. If there's faith in your heart right now to pray, won't you pray with me? Just in your heart, say, Father, and we're going to all pray for you. We're going to pray loud. for you, but you're praying for yourself. Let's say, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that he shed. He lived my life and he died my death. He rose again on the third day and he's seated in glory. Father, I need to be born again, to be part of your body, who will be at that marriage feast when Jesus returns. Amen. Right now, if that's you, and you pray that and you said, I prayed that for the first time this morning and I meant it. I want to know where you are because I want to agree with you in prayer right now. Just raise your hand. Just high enough so that I know if I can agree with anybody who prayed that prayer. Thank you, sir, at the back there. Anybody else? If there's anyone else who prayed that this morning and said, that's me. I prayed it and I meant it and I want you to agree with me. Thank you, sir. That other man at the back there as well. Anybody else? Is that it? Kerry? I saw my daughter. Just Kerry. Sorry, am I? Just bring my grandson here, please. To everybody else, thank you so much for being here this morning and enjoying Father's Day with us. And because I'm a grandfather. And because not only am I a grandfather, come here, come here, come here. Not only am I a grandfather, come here, come here, come here, come here. But I'm a special grandfather today in his eyes. And I'm allowed to do this because I know you all don't mind indulging me an extra 2 minutes of your precious time. But isn't he gorgeous? Thank you. Have a fantastic lunch. Be blessed. And those two men who raised your hands, please don't run away. I want to meet with you for 2 minutes here now before you go. God bless. Hello. Hello.